Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua and the 14th chapter. The title of the message this morning is Grasshoppers, Giants, and Gray Hair. And I'm sure that I've got the attention of at least a portion of this audience with that title. Some may be poking their spouse and saying, "Oh, look, honey, he's going to talk about you." Reading and studying the Bible can sometimes become something like window shopping. You may have heard the husband who said to his wife one time, "Why do you call it window shopping? You never buy anything." To which she replied, "Why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything." But, you know, with window shopping, you just kind of walk along and you look in the windows and on the shelves and hanging on the racks, and you're just looking, and there's nothing that you're really taking with you. And sometimes that's the way Bible study can become. We're looking, we're reading, we're examining, but we're not taking something with us. We're not taking into possession and into our lives the things that God has offered to us there. There are many wonderful promises God has made to bless our lives, not just in the future, not just a home in heaven and an eternity with God, but great and wonderful blessings that He has for us as His children in this life, in the present, here and now. And we can read of these great blessings, the things that the Lord wants to affect our lives. But if we don't take them into a practical possession and implementation in our lives, then we're not obviously going to enjoy those blessings. Well, I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about a man who took into possession the things that God had for him and was greatly blessed because of it. I want to talk to you about the man named Caleb. And I suspect that many of you are familiar with at least a portion of the life of this man. I like a description that I came across in this chapter of Caleb, based on this chapter, that said he is the 85-year-old mountaineer. And that's exactly what he was. And he was that because he was the kind of man who could take into his life, in a practical way, the great blessings that God offered to him. And so I'd like for you, if you would please, to read with me, beginning in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 14, about this man, Caleb. We're told, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me and Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear that I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live just as He spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. And I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken.' So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day. because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. This, many of you no doubt will recognize, is a description of what was occurring during the days of Joshua as the leader of God's people. Now, the first five books of the Old Testament were the books of Moses. And when you come to the book of Joshua, we have arrived at a period of transition when leadership of God's people shifted from Moses to Joshua. And now, as we have read here in the 14th chapter, we have come to a point in that time where Caleb, who had actually been a close associate of Joshua's, Caleb is asking to receive the land that had been promised to him for an inheritance. For you see, the people of God have now finally entered into the promised land. While under Moses they had been led to the border of the promised land and had failed to enter in because of their unbelief, and they spent then 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That period of time has ended. Now the people have begun, they have entered into the land. They have been engaged already in a time of conquest where they were taking possession of the land. And it is now that Caleb says, let me have that portion that was promised to me. And it's a wonderful statement that he makes here, and that is also made about him, about the faith of this man, about how he became the kind of man who could not only window shop, but could actually take to possession the things that God had for him. I want to suggest to you a few things about this man, Caleb, that made this possible, and in hopes that we too can become men and women who, as we encounter what God has to say in His Word, can actually in a practical, not just theoretical, but in a practical way, take into our lives the things that God has offered for us. I'll tell you what Caleb does for us. He demonstrates the importance, first of all, of character. If we're going to be able to take possession of that which God has provided for us, those things that God has provided for us, then we're going to have character like Caleb's character. You know what character is, don't you? You know, there's a great difference between character and reputation. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God and your wife know you are. There is a great difference between character and reputation. So what was the character of this man? Well, it's summed up, it seems to me, very briefly in the verses that we've read, by three separate statements. Verse 8, we find that Caleb says this about his character. He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the Lord melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." And then in verse 9, we see where Moses says it. Caleb recounts the words of Moses. "Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you, to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.'" And then if you drop down to verse 13 and 14, we find where Joshua says it. Joshua blessed him, that is, he blessed Caleb, and gave Hebron to Caleb. And then in verse 14 it says, "Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully." You want to know what the secret is of having all the blessings in your life that God has in store for you? It's having the character that Caleb had. A character that is described here three times, in which the Holy Spirit records in these few short verses that this was the man who followed the Lord fully. He wholly followed the Lord. You know, the Bible has a great deal to say to us about the singleness of purpose in life that we ought to have, and that is to follow and to serve the Lord. And it warns us about ways in which we might stray from that. Let me give you just a few verses in James chapter 1 and verse 8. James there writes that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I want to tell you something. When you read the life of Caleb, one thing you do not come away with is the impression that here was a man who was unstable, a man who was undependable, a man who was unreliable. No, this was a man who was dependable and reliable, and it was because he was a man who wholly followed the Lord. He was not a double-minded man. He was a single-minded man. He was a man who had a single-minded purpose in his life. Another verse that you might want to jot down, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, where Jesus is teaching, and he says, if your eye is single, some versions translate that healthy. If your eye is single or healthy, your body will be filled with light. What in the world is Jesus talking about here? Well, he's really talking about our spiritual welfare. And he's saying if we have a single purpose, that which is sound or healthy spiritually, then we will be illuminated. We will be filled with light, he talks about. But if our eye is evil, we'll be filled with darkness. We'll be confused and we'll lose our way when it comes to finding the way to God. Oh, you and I need a single eye. We need a single outlook in this life. One third verse that you might want to take note of is Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, where there, speaking about wisdom and the wisdom that is from God, it is said, those who seek me diligently find me. Notice, how do you seek the wisdom of the Lord? Those who seek me diligently, that's with purpose, with intent. We don't just accidentally end up serving and pleasing God in this life. Now listen to me. If we are not wholehearted, then we'll be faint-hearted. In verse 8 of our text in Joshua, do you remember that Caleb, thinking back about days in the past, said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. You know what he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about that time when the nation came first to the border of the kingdom and the Lord told them to take 12 men and send them into the land to spy it out. And 12 men went over and they looked over this land that God had brought the people to possess, and they came back with a report and they said, oh, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's everything that God said, and it's more. Let us tell you what it is. It's also a land that has big fortified cities, and there are giants that live in the land, and we cannot take it. That was the report of 10 of the men, 10 of the 12. As Caleb looked back upon that majority report of the spies, he said, they caused the heart of the people to melt. If we are not wholehearted, if we are half-hearted, then we will be faint-hearted when it comes to serving God. And when we face circumstances and situations in life, we will cower before them, just like those unbelieving people did in Israel. Now, what we need is character. The character of Caleb, the character that wholly follows the Lord. So here's the first point. You want to know how to not window shop through the Bible, but actually take possession of what God has offered to you? You be determined to wholly follow the Lord. That whatever you find written in the Bible of what God requires of His people today, you be determined to give that. How dare we say that we believe that there is a God and not give Him our all? Wholly, completely. But now I want you to think also about Caleb's confidence. Because of Caleb's character, he also had a confidence. Caleb said in verse 12 of our text, "Give me the land, I can take it." This was the land, a portion of the promised land that had been promised to him because of his faithfulness, because he, along with Joshua, who were the two spies that came back and said to the people, "We can take this land. With God, we can take this land." And because of that faithfulness that Caleb demonstrated, it had been promised to him that he would have this portion of the land in the area of Hebron. And now he says, 45 years later, when he's 85 years old, he says, "Give me this land. I can take it." Here's a man with tremendous confidence about what he's doing. Where did this confidence come from? Where did this faith come from? Why did Caleb have it and other people didn't? Why did Caleb and Joshua have the faith and the other 10 spies didn't? Is God a capricious God who just doles out faith? "I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to hold it from you, and I'm going to let you back there have some of it, but I'm going to hold it from you up here." Is that the way God operates? Well, not if the Bible is true. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. God wants for every person in this audience the same thing that He wants from any single person in this audience. Why then is there a difference in faith? Well, let's look at Caleb's faith. And let's see what gave this man the confidence that he had. If you look with me in verse 6, you'll see that as Caleb spoke about these things, he says, "The word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me and Kadesh Barnea." He's saying this to Joshua. He says, "Joshua, you know the word that Moses spoke 45 years ago. You know the word that Moses spoke concerning you, Joshua, and me, Caleb, in Kadesh Barnea, when we were on the border of the promised land. You know the word that the Lord spoke." Then in verse 10, it says, "And now behold, the Lord has left me alive just as He spoke." Drop down, if you would, then to verse 12. He says, "Give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day." Do you see it? Do you see where this man's confidence came from? The Lord said. The Lord said. The Lord spoke. Caleb reiterated over and over. Where did he get his confidence of faith? He got it from the only place that faith comes. He got it from God's Word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God, Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You cannot have faith except it comes from a word from God. Faith is not positive thinking, it's not optimism, it's not having a good feeling about things, it's not having a hunch, it's not keeping your fingers crossed, it's not looking on the bright side of things, it's getting a word from God and acting upon it. That is faith. That's the confidence, that's the reason that Caleb had confidence. Now, when you and I look through our Bibles and we read, it will become something more than just window shopping only when we are convinced that we must be looking for what God has said in order to act upon what God has said. If you will have character to wholly follow the Lord, then you can have confidence like Caleb to develop the kind of faith that Caleb demonstrated. And the final thing I want you to notice with me is Caleb's courage. For there, once again in verse 12, as we read that statement that he makes about, give me this land. I can conquer it. I can take it. I can drive the people from it that God wants driven off of it. Don't you love that courage that Caleb demonstrated? I just love it. Caleb says, give me a mountain. Give me a challenge. Because with God, with confidence in God, I'm up to it. Where did he get that kind of courage? Well, I don't think it will surprise you to hear me say, well, it was rooted in his confidence that had been rooted in his character. A character that said, I will wholly follow the Lord. And a confidence that was based upon, this is what the Lord said. You want to know why Caleb was so convinced and so courageous about taking possession of that land? It was because God said he was going to have it. It wasn't because Caleb had devised this plan in his mind. It wasn't because Caleb decided, you know, that's a nice piece of property there, and God wants me to be happy, and so that would make me happy there, so I'm sure. That's not what he did. He said, here's what God said. God said, the land that your foot has been upon, that you've been trotting 45 years ago, that land's going to be yours. But don't think for a moment that Caleb's faith and his confidence and his character didn't meet challenges. Let me tell you the three challenges that he met. He faced grasshoppers in chapter 14 and in verse 8. You'll notice that he talks about that time 45 years before when the heart of the people had melted. If you look back in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33, you'll see the record of the event that had happened 45 years before. And when those spies came back with their report about the land and they said, the cities are fortified with walls that cannot be breached, and the people of the land are giants. The Bible says that in their description of the land, they said, and in our own view or in our own eyes, we are as grasshoppers before them. I'll tell you one challenge that faith is always going to face. It's the challenge of intimidation. It's the challenge of overcoming a sense of, oh, I'm too small, I'm too insignificant, or we are too small, and we're too limited, and we can't do this, and we can't accomplish that. It's the grasshopper complex, where people think, no, this is beyond our ability. Let me tell you something. God never calls upon us to achieve something that we are incapable of achieving. He just doesn't do it. And too often times we convince ourselves, oh, we can't do that. We're just too small. I'll tell you what goes hand in hand with that foe of the grasshopper. It's the foe of the giant. When we begin to look at ourselves as being incapable and unable to achieve, a lot of times, right along with that, is the sense that, well, the obstacle and the challenges are giant. They're too big. They can't be overcome. They're insurmountable. May I ask you this? Do you really think that the giants in the land took God by surprise, that those 10 spies went, or 12 spies went, and they spied out the land, and they came back with their report, and they gave their report, and they said, there are giants in the land. And God said, there are giants there? Of course not. He knew they were there. And he wanted them out. And he wanted his people to drive them out. We talked about this in our Bible class this morning. We ought not to get the sense that God is just unfeelingly moving people off of the land. He gave the command to Israel to drive the inhabitants out because it was a judgment of God against ungodly people. They were losing their land because they had rejected God. And it's God's right to judge His creatures, His people, even on a national basis. It didn't take God by surprise that there were significant obstacles to overcome. He wanted His people to have faith in Him. And that's what they lost, was faith in Him. I know several of you, as you were growing up, played football. I played some football too, up until I got into high school and found out that they were really serious about football in high school. And I decided, this isn't for me anymore, and I immediately fell in love with the game of golf. Well, you know, I mean, football, that's grueling. You ever thought about this? Why do those guys get down there on that line and they dig in against those big old guys on the other side of the line and they fight and they tussle with one another and in order to score a touchdown? I've got a better solution. You ought to have the team show up at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody on the field and you can score touchdowns to your heart's delight. But where's the victory in that? What have you overcome in that? Nothing. You want to know why there are challenges to our faith? Why did God call upon this nation of Israel to drive this nation that has giants in it, to drive them out of the land? God was trying to give them something. Faith. Confidence in Him. Victory of faith. You want to know why you face trying circumstances? Why your faith gets tested? Where's the victory if there's no opposition for our faith to overcome? Well, Caleb faced not only grasshoppers and giants, also faced the gray hair. And now there's some of them elbowing, saying, okay, honey, now listen, now he's talking about you. Verses 10 and 11, he talks about the fact of his age. I'm 85 years old today, he says. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. 45 years had passed, and he talked about his strength had not waned in that period of time. I understand him to be saying that he's talking about his physical strength and that it was preserved for him by the Lord. And he's able today to go into battle to take possession of Hebron and that mountain that he wanted to possess. I'm ready to go now. I'm able to go now. Even though his age had advanced. Now, I'm not going to tell you that for Christians that as their age advances, that their physical strength still remains and that there are some with gray hair in our midst today who physically are able to do all that they could 45 years ago. That's just not the case. And that's not what the Scriptures tell us God has promised to us. But would you please read a verse with me? It's a little bit lengthy, but we'll read it and then we'll stop. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, he's describing age there. Our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm not losing my inner strength. I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. That can be said by many with gray hair in this room today. The inner man has been renewed day by day. Listen to this wonderful contrast. For momentary, light affliction is producing for us an eternal, not momentary, but an eternal weight. Not light, but weight. An eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, that is, in this physical body, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of, listen to him, of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. I tell you, it's almost as if Paul was writing about Caleb. A strength that did not wane and did not diminish with time. This, a spiritual strength. That even though the body decays and we long for the setting aside of this physical body, for the putting on of that spiritual that God has prepared for us, walking by faith and not by sight. Nevertheless, as long as we abide in this body, Paul says, what we're aiming for with good courage, like Caleb's, what we're longing for is to be pleasing to God. All that means is to walk holy with the Lord, completely. Is that what you're doing? If you're not, you can start that today. Give your obedience to the gospel of Christ and you begin that walk of faith with the Lord. And that's done by your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Turning from your sins and confessing your faith in Christ, being baptized, washing the guilt of sins away, you'll become a Christian and you'll begin that walk of faith. Like Caleb. Like Paul's, and like so many in this audience have for many, many years walked. You too can. And we pray that you'll start today while we stand and sing.